The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant in, well, we call it downtown Summerlin here in Las Vegas, where you should be visiting. This is one of the best beautiful shopping centers you've ever seen, and you can have lunch or dinner here at Pancho's just about any time. Thank you for your inquiring emails from your home country, from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Italy, from Baja California, from South Africa, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special guest audience tonight is both hungry and thirsty, and they're pouring wine as we speak, and I know that'll get the night started. Tonight, my special guest is the Mallory Nathan from Pancho's Mexican Restaurant. She's the manager here. You're going to love her. She knows all about the food, and wait till you see what her and the chef have put together to pair with three Robert Mondavi Napa Valley wines that we're going to have this evening. John Cesarini is also here from Robert Mondavi, and our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we are all about, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering also that we'll discover lots of information about taste and flavor, and we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines each and every week, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. We need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. And Wines du Jour food and wine radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems around the globe. And we're also available on podcast, and we're free on iTunes. So listen to Wonder Radio or Warp Radio as well. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. And remember, a meal without wine is called breakfast. But first, wine improves with age. That's what they say. The older I get, the better I like it. So I guess that's true, huh? It's a truism. That's what we call them. I want to talk to you tonight to start with, because this is a special show that we're doing this evening. It is for Toys for Tots. Having been in the Marine Corps, I can tell you they didn't have Toys for Tots when I was in, or I'd have been there in a heartbeat. But all the Marines all across the country, including here in Las Vegas, are actually volunteers working to make Toys for Tots successful. And I want to tell you a little bit about Toys for Tots, if you don't mind. It's an organization to provide a toy to children of all ages, that's like 16 and under, in the need of a smile. Now, if you can imagine what it's like to see your friends get toys and you get nada, that's not a cool thing at all. These toys are not simply playthings, but tools to help them unlock a child's ability to think, to be creative, and to cope with the world around them. Marines Toys for Tots is an organization that helps raise funds for toys for children all around the Southern Nevada area. So if you have not yet done so, make sure that in the next few days you go to your local grocery store, the Smiths and the Albertsons and so on, and leave an unwrapped toy there, and they will love you for it. They have boxes with Toys for Tots on it. And our guest this evening, we've got a full audience in our here at the restaurant, and we have a table full of toys that are going to be taken to the kids for Toys for Tots. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about Toys for Tots, and then we'll get started with our wines and our food and do Wines du Jour like we normally do. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant in downtown Summerlin. Be back in just a moment. Thank you. Mexican restaurant, a freestanding, beautiful $2 million building where they make Mexican food like they do in Mexico, not like they do down the street. You know what I'm saying? This is authentic Mexican food, and I have to tell you, it is delicious. Not only is the service good, the presentation is excellent, the food is wonderful, and of course, the surroundings are absolutely outstanding. And of course, when you get friends together, like we have here this evening, it's going to be even nicer, I guess you might say. I want to mention a little bit more about Toys for Tots. If you can reflect on your own life, and that's what I want you to think about in a moment, what it meant to receive a toy at Christmas. You know, most kids take it for granted because they're in a family where they have the tree and two or three kids, possibly brothers and sisters, and the toys get piled up under the tree and they just don't think too much about it. But what about the one down the street, the one that the parents are having a little rough time? Maybe they don't have a Christmas tree and obviously no toys for the kids as well. It's a little bit heartbreaking for kids, and I just want you to think about that. Everybody here has already thought about it and brought, some people brought two or three toys, you know, just because they really believe in the Toys for Tots. Currently, you can imagine how devastating it would be to receive absolutely nothing for Christmas, and your friends received a new toy or more. That is kind of a rough situation. I have to tell you personally, I experienced that very thing. So I know how important this Toys for Tots is. So Toys for Tots offers simple solutions, and even the busiest Americans can get involved because you don't have to do an awful lot. Get a toy, you're going to buy them anyway for your family or friends, and just buy a couple extra ones and take them to your local grocery store, and you can drop them off there. They provide a ray of hope for the future for kids. It's a passive mentoring program. That's what Toys for Tots is all about. It has positive influence on their nation's neediest youngsters. And let me tell you, in Las Vegas, we have 30,000 youngsters that need toys. That is a bunch. So just think about that. It's breathtaking that how effective it is. 30,000 kids may not have toys for Christmas if it wasn't for Toys for Tots. It's a national challenge with the Reserve Marine Corps. If you do not have visible Toys for Tots in your neighborhood, contact your local Marine Corps recruiting office in your hometown, wherever you're listening to us around the country, because they can let you know about Toys for Tots or maybe take some toys and make sure that they get to the right place. This way, busy Americans can play a positive role in enhancing the development and steering of needy youngsters. Has a positive impact in commodities and on an economic posture of business, and large and small businesses are involved with this throughout the nation. And the bottom line is that Toys for Tots makes a difference. Now, I also want to talk to you about one other thing before we get started, and that is something that you've probably seen on TV, certainly in the paper and so on, and that is a situation where no kids should be hungry. Now, when I say 30,000, this is not an exaggeration, and imagine how much food that 30,000 kids consume in one day. So it's not just the toys, but it's also No Kids Hungry. The campaign is a big one, and it works all across the country. It is America struggles with hunger all around the country, and we know that for an absolute fact. And the resources are coming from you and I. That's where we do it. Not your next-door neighbor, not a business down the street necessarily, but from us. So if you don't know too much about Share Our Strength, that is the No Kids Hungry situation, I want to give you an 800 number here at the show. I don't think you need to write it down, but if you're at home, write this number down, and they can answer any questions you have about No Kid Hungry. The number is 1-800-222-1767. 800-222-1767. And you can get to help a youngster get something to eat. I used to wonder about the schools when they started the program or having lunch for kids that didn't have to pay for it. When I went to school, if you were going to eat in the cafeteria, you had to show up with the money in your hand or you didn't get anything to eat. Today, that's not necessarily the situation. And at first, I thought it was probably not a real good deal. I disagree with myself now, and I'm telling you, it is a good deal. And there's so many kids that wouldn't have anything to eat if they didn't have that program going. So share our strength. No kids hungry. Be involved. And, of course, thanks again for thinking about Toys for Tots, because that is also an extremely important thing. Now we have, we have a couple guests this evening, and I want to introduce you to one that is the man that is responsible for Robert Mondavi Wines here in the Nevada area. He has been with the company for a few years. He was in Reno for a long time, and a couple years ago moved down to the Las Vegas area. He is knowledgeable about wine and, of course, specifically about Robert Mondavi Wines. Now, back in, I think, 1986 or 87, I did the Great Chefs of America for Robert Mondavi in Napa. And that's where I first met him. And we were been friends all the way up until when he passed away. And I have to tell you that Robert Mondavi's family has kept the tradition going very, very well. Tonight, we are featuring three Robert Mondavi wines. A Fumé Blanc, and then second, we're going to have a Pinot Noir, and then third, we're going to have a Cabernet Sauvignon. And I have to tell you, we'll find out a little bit about this Fumé Blanc. You know, Fumé Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc are pretty much the same thing, except that Robert Mondavi is the man that came up with the idea in America to call Sauvignon Blanc Fumé Blanc, because Sauvignon Blanc, people weren't buying it in the stores because they didn't know what to call it. They look at Sauvignon and they kind of say, oh, I'll go to something else. But Fumé, they could catch that. We know that's a heat or fire or whatever. So he put Fumé Blanc, and then underneath Fumé Blanc, he put in parenthesis Sauvignon Blanc. And the wine jumped out of the stores. And, of course, when one winery does it, a big one like Robert Mondavi, all the wineries started doing it. So now, here in America, you can find Sauvignon Blanc and Fumé Blanc everywhere. But you can't find it any better than that that comes from Napa Valley and Robert Mondavi. And John Cesarini, tell us a little bit about that Fumé Blanc, would you?
Well, it's I think what made Mr. Mondavi wanted to make a wine that people could have with food, and the way they were making Sauvignon Blancs back in 1967 was a sweet style.
Right.
It did not go well with a lot of different foods. And so he decided, he loved Pouilly Fumé. He was a big French wine drinker, and he coined the term Fumé Blanc, and he changed the whole Sauvignon Blanc business. It became a wine that people enjoyed with all kinds of different fare, lighter fare, salads, and his has a little more to it. It has it is oak aged for 9 months, which is rare for a Sauvignon Blanc.
It is.
So it's a little richer than most. Also has 6% Semillon in it to give it some more floral notes, and it's just a delicious blend. And he's done such a great job with it. And he started it in 1967.
That's good news. You know, one of the things that I talk about constantly here on Wines du Jour is the amount of percentage of alcohol in the wines. And I want to tell you, Mondavi is no exception. He's really got his act together. The percentage of alcohol on this is 13.5, which is an excellent. Anything lower than 14.5 is good. In the old days, we used to have 10 and 11%. That went by the wayside a long time ago. And now they've increased the alcohol in wines today, typically. And the reason is simple. Once you understand it, it makes sense. You don't have to like it necessarily, because I don't like high alcohol wines, and mainly because it no longer, when it gets up in a higher, like 15, 15.5, 16%, it's just hard to pair it with food. And, of course, my theory is, and my slogan here on Wines du Jour is, wine is food.
Absolutely.
And I truly believe that. So 13.5 is very good for this Fumé Blanc. And it comes from Napa Valley. Now, Napa Valley, as you probably know, is divided up into little sections you can get a little more particular. If you don't want to just call it Napa, they might want to call it something specific. And if you would look at a map and look north of San Francisco, you will see Sonoma. That's on the Pacific coast, and it runs up to the mountain. And then over that mountain on the other side is Napa Valley. And so that's pretty cool, except that if you look at the bottom of Sonoma and Napa Valley, there's another region that runs east and west that's about 40-something miles from the Pacific Ocean. And so there's a constant breeze there that the other parts of Sonoma and Napa do not get. So it's a little bit cooler, and the soil conditions are perfect for growing things like Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So our wine tonight, the second wine, is the Pinot Noir, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that when the time comes. But the area is called Carneros, just so that you know, Carneros. So you got Sonoma, Napa, and Carneros in that area just north of the city, or San Francisco, for those of you that didn't live there. One of the things I like about this is the taste of lemon and lime. If you'll taste it here at the show, if you'll swirl that wine for about 10 seconds in the glass, that's what I recommend you do, and then stick your nose right down in the glass and take a whiff, and you'd be amazed at the things that you can taste. If you don't swirl it and you just simply stick your nose in there, it'll just smell like nothing. It'll smell like water or whatever. But when you swirl it, the wine gets up on the side of the glass and it permeates the air, if you will, and you'll be able to smell a few things. Peaches is one that you can smell when you swirl it. And that's kind of unusual for Sauvignon Blanc, but it's very prominent here, and also it helps make this a very nice one. If you also see the lemon and lime that I mentioned earlier, you can actually taste a little bit of that lemon and lime. And it's kind of active. It's Sicily, you know, in your mouth. It's not bubbly like champagne or sparkling wine would be, but it does have that citric acidity to it that you could taste. And, of course, the tannin on this is beautiful. It's very light. And this is what makes it work so well with food, because it is not overly done in any particular way. And speaking of food, I'm going to ask Mallory if she would be kind enough to explain to us what they are serving us here to go with this Fumé Blanc. What is it, Mallory?
Yep. So this evening, I thought that our scallops of H.A. would pair greatly with this wine. So these are our bay scallops that have been marinated with onions and lemons and spices. And they're served great with our tostaditas, which are our tortilla chips.
Yeah, it's really good. So what I'd like everybody here in the audience to do is to, and I know you've already done some of this, but if you would swirl the wine, smell it, and take a sip, and then take a taste of the food. And after you've tasted the food, take another sip of the wine, and you'll see what pairing is all about. It really is advantageous to have. So try that, and I think you'll definitely like that. One of the things about Fumé Blanc is that it is so well-versed to go with food, which most is not. And if you listen to Wines du Jour in the past, I've always told you, for white wine, my favorite would be Sauvignon Blanc, because it goes with food a lot better than Chardonnay ever thought about. Although we all know that Chardonnay is considered to be the number one wine in the world. More people that drink white wine drink Chardonnay everywhere around the world, not just in southern Nevada or in America, but everywhere. And so Fumé Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc, we want to call that as like pretty much the same grape, because it is made from the same grape. It's just a little style that's a little bit different. In fact, I'm going to ask John if we've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll ask John to explain a little bit of the difference between Sauvignon Blanc. We'll be back right after these messages.
Back up.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here, tasting a little bit of Robert Mondavi Fumé Blanc, and that happens to be, incidentally, the 2014. Again, the alcohol percentage is 13.5, and I want you to know that it's 94% Sauvignon Blanc and 6% Semillon. So those are the two blends together to get this beautiful taste that goes so well with food. And before we went to the break, I said I was going to have John tell us a little bit about the difference between Fumé Blanc and Sauvignon Blanc. It's like a heartbeat, but he can do it. John?
Okay. It's actually just more of a style. And that's why he originally wanted to call it something different, because Sauvignon Blanc wasn't working. So his love of Puy Fumé, he thought Fumé Blanc sounds really good, and he could have patented it because it became very popular right away. But he didn't want that. He wanted other wineries if they wanted to use it, because it certainly did when it was first made. It designated that it was a very dry Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
And that was the real difference.
And
now most Sauvignon Blancs are dry, so they're very similar. So you wouldn't really tell much of a difference between many of the Sauvignon Blancs made in Napa. But his is distinguished by being made very dry all the time with a little bit of oak aging.
Right. And as you mentioned earlier, John, Sauvignon Blanc used to be a lot sweeter
than it
is today. And, you know, just so that you understand, if we talk about a sweet wine, it cannot ever be a dry sweet wine, because the spectrum is, on one end of the spectrum, it's sweet, and on the other end, it's dry. So there's no way to get a sweet dry wine. It doesn't work. So most of them, by today's standards, are definitely dry, because the American palate, as well as other places around the world, tends to go for drier wines than they used to. On the other hand, way back when you were younger and you're first starting to drink wine instead of Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola or whatever, you probably went into a lounge or a bar and you ordered a Chardonnay, because that's what everybody does by habit. And you didn't know if it was a good one or a bad one. You just knew it was Chardonnay. It was something new for you. But the thing is, the Chardonnay in that bar probably was on the sweet side, because most people that aren't drinking much wine are just basically new to consuming wine like sweeter wines, because it's closer to 7-Up and Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Think about that. And as they get a little bit older and a little more experienced with wine, they tend to go to drier wines. And that's why eventually, down the line, most people go from the Chardonnay to the Cabernet Sauvignon, which, if you start out with Cabernet Sauvignon, you're probably not going to like wine at all, because it is dry, it is big, and it's bold by comparison to a sweeter Chardonnay, if you know what I'm saying. So all those different varietals in between and all that experience you have, all I can tell you is drink more wine. I don't mean all at once, but consistently. In fact, the medical profession around the world states that you should have one or two glasses of wine every day. Wine is not a Friday and Saturday thing. That's for tequila and gin and vodka and so on. So one or two glasses of wine every day with your dinner meal normally, because wine is food. There you go. See how easy that is? Well, I like also the taste. This Fumé Blanc has some apple in it, too. I mentioned lime and so on, but apple, and it has a little bit of minerality. That's a term we started using a couple years ago, that if you said minerality back in the 70s, they wouldn't have a clue what you're saying.
Exactly.
But today we say minerality, and that's just the flavor and the way the tannins affect your system when you swallow the wine. Sometimes it heats up your throat, depending on the wine that you're drinking, but the tannin and the acidity of the wine is pretty cool, and it actually gives you an overall good feeling about drinking the wine. Okay, that makes sense to you? Okay, I also told you about the Sauvignon Blanc and the Semillon, and the acidity, which most people don't even pay any attention to, but I'm just going to tell you, the acidity here on this Fumé is 6.1. No big deal. It doesn't mean anything unless you're really into tasting wines and so on and so forth. So Fumé Blanc, Napa Valley, and again, having white grapes in Napa Valley is a little bit unusual by comparison, because by far the majority of the grapes that are grown in Napa Valley are red grapes, and more predominantly Cabernet Sauvignon, but not exclusively. And then when you get down a little bit further south in the Napa Valley, you get into the Carneros region, and that's where the Pinot Noir starts shining. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back and try wine number two. We've got to go to a break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant in downtown Summerlin. Be right back. Time here at the Pancho's Mexican Restaurant in downtown Summerlin, and we have now gone to wine number two. Wine number two is actually a 2013 14.5% alcohol, and that is a Carneros region Pinot Noir. Now remember, I told you Carneros sits just below Napa, so they call it Napa. It's still part of Napa, but it's a specific Carneros region. And the weather there is perfect for growing Pinot Noir. And as you probably know, if you've been around Wines du Jour at all, that Pinot Noir is one of the most difficult grapes in the world to grow. It takes so much time, and it has to be in perfect condition. We call it terroir. And that's a combination of how hot, how cold, how windy, how rainy, the soil condition, and so on. All those added together in a French term is just simply called terroir. So the terroir for or in Carneros is perfect for what Pinot Noir likes. So there's an awful lot of Pinot Noir. A lot of wineries have vineyards there, and they grow it, including, of course, Robert Mondavi. So one of the beautiful things about this is to pair it with food. You know, Pinot Noir has such a great flavor. When it's good, it's outstanding. And I think tonight you're going to find, when you have an opportunity to taste this Pinot Noir, that it is very, very good. And being professionals that they are, here at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant, they chose something pretty neat but still very Mexican to pair with it. And I'm going to ask Mallory if she'd tell us a little bit about it.
We paired this wine with our pollo asado tacos. We have seasoned grilled chicken that's been marinated, and it's served also with pico de gallo. And this evening we have it served in a corn tortilla. But if you come to Pancho's and order the pollo asado tacos, you're more than welcome to get it with flour tortillas as well. But it's one of our most popular dishes here at Pancho's.
Well, it is very tasty. And when you taste a little bit of that Pinot Noir with this taco, I have to tell you, it's good. You know, one thing I want to mention here, I think I have said this maybe in the past here at Pancho's, is one way to know if you have an authentic Mexican food. It's not just, beans and rice, which a lot of people think of as that. But when you get a taco like this one, and even though it's a mini taco, smaller in size than the typical tortilla, you get two and not one. Did you notice that? That shows that they really know what they're doing. That's the way it is in Mexico. And it just makes the whole taste a little more complete. So if you're buying your tacos at a Mexican restaurant somewhere in your town, and they bring out one tortilla with the filling in it, you know that they're not as authentic as they could be. So two, I know it sounds crazy, but two makes a difference in the taste and the flavor. Maybe the cost as far as the restaurant's concerned, they had to buy a second tortilla, but it's worth it. And in the case here that Mallory mentioned, whether it's corn or flour is your choice. I happen to think tortillas are better. I don't mean tortillas. I mean tacos are better with the corn than the flour, and enchiladas are better with the flour than the corn. That's the kind of the way I break it down, but that's just my own personal feeling. Now, this Pinot Noir, as I told you earlier, is 2013. That means it's got a couple years, and I'm going to ask John if he'd tell us a little bit about why this Pinot is so damn good. Could you do that, John?
Absolutely. Well, I think, number one, that Mr. Mondavi picked a fantastic appellation, which Carneros is just fantastic for Pinot Noir.
True.
He always wanted to make his Pinot Noir 100% Pinot Noir. So it's no blending. It's always 100% Pinot Noir. And he really wanted the grape to come through. And I think he did a great job with this. And this 2013 is great. And Mallory did a fantastic job with the pairings so far, the first two wines. It's just fabulous.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the program, Mallory is a professional, and there's no doubt about it. She gets back there with the chef, and you can't believe some of the things that they create. So if you come to the restaurant, make sure, if you can remember Mallory's name, ask for her, and you'll have an opportunity to see how smart she really is and maybe put her to a challenge and maybe give her an opportunity to go get something out of the kitchen that you might not ordinarily order. That's one of the good things about restaurants that you're not familiar with, is if you know somebody there, the owner or the maitre d' or the chef, and ask them to choose something for you to eat, as opposed to just picking something that everybody orders. You know, that's kind of boring after a while. Not that it's not good, but you can discover other things at a restaurant if you just simply give them an opportunity to show you. And they know what's different compared to what sells, so they'd be happy to show you. Most of the time, they pick some things that they like best that you would probably never even get. In fact, sometimes it's not even on the menu, but you get it anyway. And it's really worth the asking, if you will. And this gives you an opportunity to really find out what a restaurant is all about. You know, that's something that we don't really have an opportunity to do like we should. We get recommendations from friends about restaurants that maybe you didn't know about. And you go there and you ask them, well, what do I order or what's good there? Or you go with them and they order something that they've had two or three times in the past instead of something a little bit different. And so if you were to ask the waiter or the chef or the manager, what do you have that's a little bit different that I would probably like? They might ask you what you do like, or maybe the type of wine that you're going to pair with it. And then they can choose two or three items on the menu, and you'll be very, very happy, a lot more than normal. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Pinot Noir, and then we're going to go to wine number three, which is Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, the big boy from Napa. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. For the black... Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here, and we're about ready to try wine number three. But before we do, I want to talk real quick about wine number two, which was the Pinot Noir. Some people asked me some of the tastes that we have on the Pinot Noir, and I don't think I did mention it, so I'll just run through some of the tastings that I think you should recognize, like black cherry.
Absolutely.
And one of the most dominant flavors of this Pinot Noir is black cherry, and part of it is because of where the grapes were grown. That would be Carneros. Carneros seems to bring out black cherry in the grapes that are grown there. So it's not just Robert Mondavi's, but all the Pinots that are grown in that Carneros region tend to have a lot of black cherry. Also, typically we have plum. And what I like about the Carneros region and also about the Napa region is the earthiness taste or flavor that you get out of the wine. It's a little earthy, and that's maybe a good word or a bad word, I don't know. But this has kind of a silky taste to it. This Pinot Noir is very, very silky. Smooth, I guess, is another word for it. But it's also spicy, and that's what I think makes this Pinot Noir so doggone good. It has the blackberry, but it has a little bit of spice to go along with it. And that's what makes it great. Okay, let's move on to wine number three, which they're pouring as we speak. And that would be the 2014 Robert Mondavi Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, I mentioned earlier about the grapes that are grown in Napa. Typically, more of the grapes by far are the red grapes, and Cabernet by far the most popular because the soil conditions and the terroir, that would be the weather and so on, how hot it gets. And it gets a little hotter in Napa than on the other side of that mountain, that range that separates Sonoma from Napa into Sonoma. It doesn't get as hot. So it seems like Sonoma grows grapes to make more not so bold a wines than in the Napa Valley. So that doesn't make it bad. It's just the difference, and you can taste the difference, frankly. And what I like about it is that it has a little bit of herbiness, herbs. Now, you don't think of thyme and rosemary and so on, but that's really part of what's in the taste here with the Pinot Noir. Now, in the Cabernet, you still have a little bit of that earthiness. You have a little bit of that herbiness from herbs because that's what's in the soil, if you will, or the terroir in Napa and in the Carneros region, although Cabernet grapes that we have in this wine tonight all came from Napa and not Carneros, okay? I like the black cherry and the plum flavors, and they're a little bit more bold in this particular Cabernet Sauvignon. And this will kind of surprise you because Cabernet Sauvignon tends to have higher alcohol percentage than normal. This has 13. That is outstanding. And I just want to, if I can, get John to tell us a little bit about this Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley.
Absolutely. This is just released 2014, so we're actually a little bit ahead. This was just released last month, so you're probably one of the first people to try the 2014.
Love it.
To me, it's tasting very, very good. This particular Cabernet is 86% Cab, it's 10% Merlot, and then some small percentages of Petit Verdot, Cab Franc, and Malbec, and even a little bit of Syrah.
Yeah, and when he says a little bit, it's kind of funny. I've never seen this on wine before, but it shows 0.5%
right.
of Syrah. So that means they just put a little drop or two in there, just enough to change the taste just slightly. And that's one of the reasons that this Cabernet is so food-friendly. Folks, if you like the barbecue, barbecue season is not too far away. We just went through the summer, but in the fall, we do a lot of smoking and a lot of grilling and so on. And if you're still doing that sort of thing, get yourself some of this Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon from 2014. And I have to tell you, you're going to love it with a roast. You're going to love it with a steak. You're going to love it with grilled vegetables. And if you like to smoke things, like I smoked, as an example, I smoked turkey for Thanksgiving. It was just outstanding. And everybody that had it really, really loved it. So it's, you know, you can smoke practically anything. And one of the things that I find most people don't do that do a lot of smoking, and that is vegetables. You can't believe how good smoked vegetables on a grill taste. You have to try it. That's all I can tell you. You know, it could be anything like bell peppers, or it could be squash. It could be almost any type of a vegetable. I mean, we're not talking celery here, you know. But most any kind of vegetable is really good. Just cut it, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, put it on the grill, and let it get some grill marks on there. And I'm telling you, you're going to love it, especially if you're sharing it with some meat that you smoked as well. Could be a roast or a steak or just anything in between. The only thing we don't smoke too much is hamburgers. Now, first of all, one of my friends says, I don't do burgers on my grill. They keep falling through the grill. I said, well, you're not making them right, you know. We're not putting the burger right out of the package on the grill because it will fall through. That's not too smart. But you can smoke hamburgers if you've never thought about that. And I suggest you try something if you're going to do the smoking for the hamburger to use 50% pork. Ground pork and 50% ground beef, and mix it together and put that on the grill and smoke it. I'm telling you, you're going to love me for saying that. We got to go to a break again, I'm sorry to say. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that Cabernet Sauvignon. And, of course, the good food. We haven't mentioned that. That's been paired with this. Everybody's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a great time here. I have to tell you, this Pinot Noir was good, but this Cabernet Sauvignon is just absolutely fantastic. It's a 2014, and it's only 13% alcohol, which I think is just outstanding. Robert Mondavi's family did a beautiful job here in Napa Valley. But I'm going to ask John to tell us a little bit about this Cabernet. And maybe between the two of us, we can come up with a couple ideas on what to pair it with. And then we're going to ask Mallory if she'll tell us what the chef did, because this is a killer pairing. We'll talk about that in a moment. John?
Yeah, the Cabernet went great with this. Another great pairing by Mallory. Just a little tidbit about Cabernet. Cabernet is really what Mr. Mondavi was all about. He loved Cabernet Sauvignon. That's why he picked the Tokalon Vineyard to build his winery. Tokalon is probably the most famous Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard in Napa.
Right.
And it's just been great that I could show all these wines from Mr. Mondavi on his 50th anniversary, because he opened the winery in 1966, so this is his 50th anniversary. We've been celebrating all year, and I couldn't think of a better place to celebrate the last month of his celebration, 50th anniversary, is right here at Poncho's.
Oh, great.
With Les.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's good. Okay, now, a couple things. The food is outstanding tonight. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the third pairing that went with the Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, most people think, okay, Cabernet Sauvignon, we've got to do a steak, or we've got to do a roast, or we've got to do something just really basic. Not what they did here. They kind of went the extra mile. And tell us a little bit about it, if you would.
So this evening we served tinga poblana. Tinga is a famous dish from the city of Puebla in central Mexico. That's actually where the historic Cinco de Mayo battle was fought. So tinga is chunks of tender, slow-roasted, marinated pork. It's cooked with roasted, mild California chilies, tomatoes, and chipotles. We also use a special blend of Poncho's herbs and spices in there. And it's usually served with your choice of tortillas and rice and beans, and it's a really great dish.
And here we paired it with the beautiful Cabernet Sauvignon. I have to tell you, there's a little spice in this, which I think is perfect. I happen to like spicy food, the hotter the better, frankly. But a nice spiciness, and the Cabernet Sauvignon just kind of settles that down when you have a little sip of that after you've had a bite of the food. The two pair absolutely perfect together. And I can't think of a better winery to feature on our Toys for Tots show here, and that is the Robert Mondavi Winery.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, if you will, about Robert Mondavi Wines, in just in general, because, like I said earlier, I did the Great Chefs of America for Robert Mondavi at his winery in the late 80s, and I considered him a friend, although we weren't best friends by any stretch of the imagination. I knew his name, of course, but he knew my name, and I thought that was a good thing. Tell us real quick a little bit about Robert Mondavi and his wines.
Just that, you know, this was always his dream. He fulfilled it. And what he really wanted to do was have wine on every table for everybody. And that's why there's so many price ranges for Robert Mondavi. And I just think he did a wonderful job. And he was, when he opened it in 1966, there was no large wineries that had been opened since Prohibition. So
that's
he
right.
was rolling the dice.
That's true.
And I'm so glad that he did.
Boy, millions of Americans feel the same way.
Absolutely.
They may not realize it, but yeah. It's an absolute fact. I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour, Food and Wine Show here at Poncho's Mexican Restaurant in Las Vegas, celebrating for Toys for Tots. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show. We broadcast each and every week at the same time, the same station. So if you're listening to us now, stay tuned next week and listen again. If you enjoyed this broadcast, be sure to tell everybody you know and tune in next week, as I mentioned. And if you just want to know more about my favorite subjects, you can log on to my personal websites, leskincaid.com, or you can go to Facebook or Twitter and see what the current updates are. I want to thank Mallory Nathan for her beautiful job here at...